Very good. So should Carla read the item?
Yes, are you going?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead, Carla? Thank you.
Item 996, appeal of Ben Salzberg against the noise variance granted to Son Latino LLC to conduct amplified outdoor events on the roof of Yoga Union located at 2305 Southeast 50th Avenue.
Okay, very good. So I have received the order of today's report. It's going to start with a staff report, and that is 10 minutes or as needed. It will be followed up by the appellant, Ben Salzberg, for 10 minutes. Supporters of the appellant will then speak for up to 3 minutes each. And the clerk has sign-up sheets. Are they inside or they outside? They're still outside. The principal opponent of the appeal and will then have 15 minutes. And then other opponents of the appeal, meaning supporters of the noise control officer, will have 3 minutes each, again, from the clerk's sign-up sheet, followed, if so desired, the appellant's rebuttal for up to 5 minutes, and then council discussion as required. Very good. Welcome.
Well, thank you, members of council. My name is Officer Paul Van Orden. I'm the city's noise control officer. Today, we are going to discuss a noise variance for a particular event, but we are also going to need to touch on the location because that's really the heart of what the issue is on the table today. So I want to start off and mention that we are exploring a noise variance for salsa events on a rooftop, and that is what our decision focuses on today. But this particular location came to our attention this summer, and we issued a warning letter back on June 13th to the property owners that we had concerns about events at the location. We had conversations with the owner in late July, early August, that they need to stop leasing out the location regularly without having applicants understand the impacts on the community and without working with our office, because we had apparently had events happening who were not pulling noise variances. And so we issued a permit to a separate entity, not the salsa operation, for a yoga benefit event on August 3rd. And then after that, we issued a permit to the salsa event on August 15th. So the reason why I'm trying to paint a more broad picture is this is not just a question for the community about a salsa event having events. I think these folks who have operated this event have actually done the notification we've wanted, although the timing may have been off slightly, and they are garnering the attention of the community for what I believe from the research I've done are a series of events that were not the salsa variance applicant's events. And so before us today, although there is an application that we're exploring, there is a question of what is occurring at the location. And so what I want to start off with is a little background real quickly for council. Warning letter went out to the entities on the 13th of June of this year, as I mentioned. We had a event for a living yoga benefit, it was called, that had bands performing on August 3rd, which happened from 7 till 9:30 p.m., and then we moved into the series of events that you see before you for Sunday salsa on the roof. And so the community, in their vocalizing problems at the location, have not necessarily focused on the salsa event. They have focused on their concerns that this particular property owner is not sensitive of the community. And so our conversations with the property owner were that after these two events, we will not be issuing any more permits until he can sit down with the community and iron out a reasonable approach to working with the community and to limit the impacts on the community. And so the challenge is that by that point, I think we had a series of members in the neighborhood who were not happy because we had not had a conversation with them that was the scenario. And so as the yoga event occurred and then the salsa event started, we were letting community members know that after this permit is done, we're not issuing more permits. And so understandably, for a member of the community, you might wish to appeal without having a perfect knowledge that there will not be any more events in the future. So for council, what I want to clarify is next year, if this applicant intends to use the rooftop again in the nice weather of Portland, they will, from our perspective, need to first have some meetings with the community to discuss what they're looking to do, much better neighborhood notification, and quite frankly, it's a much quieter neighborhood than I anticipated based on my sound readings out at this location. I was actually taking readings this last Sunday as low as 45 decibels, which is quite a quiet situation to be that close to Division. It's only a block or so off of Division. And so my perspective is, much like many other locations of this nature, they're a small little commercial enclave or development right within a residential area, that just a handful or less of events in a year is more than reasonable. So next year, if they actually apply to the city for a permit, and also based on the guidance I get from council today, they're not likely to have this number of events approved by the city noise office. They could obviously appeal that to the council. So I feel that we're in a very good position in moving forwards, that the issues that are on the table today are already solved. I do understand from my conversations with the appellant that they probably want better assurance, and we can hopefully attain that today. The other thing I want to mention is this is the nuance of the noise offense. The salsa event is absolutely and unequivocally very audible for neighbors out in the neighborhood. The challenge is the city code is one of the more restrictive codes for a city in the United States, and it delineates that the permitted level at the residential neighboring properties to this commercial property, I believe it's CM1, they are permitted without any noise permit 60 decibels at the neighbor's homes. That is quieter than you're hearing my voice at the dais. So that is as loud as they can be without a permit. When I went out and measured this Sunday, they were generally operating at the loudest locations at 62 to 63, occasionally as high as 65. For the noise office, that's not a significant impact on the community. The challenge being in this case is that it is such a quiet location for the city, relatively speaking, that stands out. And so although I would not argue by any means this is a loud event, that it has a big impact on the community, that we feel there's a health concern, the noise office is most definitely sensitive of how can we maintain a balance in the community. And so although it's only operating, and especially now that we've been working with the applicant to make sure that they're being careful about monitoring their levels at 65 decibels, we still feel that it would not be reasonable in future years to issue more than 4 or 5 events at most for an entire year at this location.
Mr. Van Orden, can I ask you a question? On the information that I have, there are only 2 other events coming up that would be subject to this appeal, one on September 30th and one on October 14th. But you've also said that in terms of next year, it's unlikely that you would grant the variance absent a community process and other things. And the appeal doesn't appear to go to next year. So are we literally now talking about whether the September 30th and October 14th events go forward, or if so, with conditions?
Yes, that's correct.
And then what you've signaled is that the larger question of whether this will happen again in the future would be subject to a community consultation process that may or may not be acceptable to Mr. Salzberg, and he would have the right to bring an appeal then if he objects to a variance issuing next year. But what we're talking about today is just the remaining 2 events?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
And what's the criteria that you use to decide? Is it 1 event, 2, 3, 4, 5, 20?
Well, we try and look at the pattern of the number of events we've historically issued in similar locations. So we have people who are in more commercially intense zones and ask for a whole series of 15 or 20 events throughout the summer. And that is a much more reasonable thing for me to argue we can consistently do in commercially intense zones. This location is really just a small little bit of commercial use. So if I were to issue 5 permits and an applicant wanted 30, then they might come to council and say, we think Mr. Van Orden's being unreasonable. I think I can make a valid argument to why I'm consistently doing the same thing.
But there aren't any specific approval criteria for how you make that decision?
Well, most definitely. The zoning, the makeup of the neighborhood, the past history of the applicant, which is a challenge in this location because the property owner hasn't been responsive. And I would argue that if they asked for more than a handful of events, that I would fall back on that particular condition or particular variance criteria, that their past performance is not stellar.
And is this in the code?
The conditions of approval are most definitely in the code, in the Portland City Code.
Where would somebody find those?
Just in Title 18 under variances for the City of Portland.
Thank you.
And are we focused on the entity that's providing the entertainment, or is our focus on the property owner, or both?
You know, this is an interesting question for us today. And what we are really focusing on is the applicant, who is somebody leasing or renting the property, is our applicant. And that's why we've tried to be proactive and tell the owner, do not tell people they can lease your rooftop and get noise variances. What we have done in similar situations to this in the past is we've simply required the property owner to pull all permits so there's no miscommunication with third parties. So that's why we feel in the noise office that this applicant has been responsive to our concerns. And that's why I have not taken steps to change their permit. Within their permit, I have some guidelines that allow me to make internal changes to their permit. They have been responsive when neighbors have called. They have been responsive to concerns of the noise office. And so I didn't feel that punishing this applicant was the concern. I felt like the better need for the community is a long-term solution with the property owners. And so the unfortunate part is we're not here to make a decision against, or related to, I should say, the property owners. We are specifically here today to talk about a person who has leased the rooftop for this series of events.
But the applicant may very well have claims that he or she can bring against the property owner. So that's a separate matter.
Yeah, that would not be.
But the entity that controls the variance is the applicant, and the applicant is San Latino LLC.
Yes, that's correct.
And so that's the issue here. And the appeal is whether San Latino LLC should get a variance for two concerts, one on September 30th and one on October 14th.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And so I've pulled up Title 17 at this point, and one of the criteria in the variance is whether compliance with the standard or provisions from which the variance is sought would produce hardship without equal or greater benefit to the public. And so how did you make your decision on this criterion based on hardship and the benefit of the public? What were some of the things that you considered?
Well, I mean, I think one question in our city is how do we encourage events of a cultural nature to occur? And so one criteria is, would it benefit the public to have this happen so that the community can be involved in a salsa event? And are there too many of these happening for the community? So I have to balance out, do we have opportunities of this nature throughout the city? Is this a logical location to have this happen? Because I would not expect a salsa event to be loud, and based on my sound readings, it's not loud. This is not a rock concert. There's a possibility they could crank it up real loud, but that's not what I've seen. So when I look at the better benefit to the community, is allowing a handful of these events, or a little more than a handful of these events, is a reasonable situation for a neighbor to expect in a neighborhood where you have commercial properties. Now, if they had said we were going to have a death metal concert for this many dates, that I would expect to be 85 or 90 decibels at the neighborhood, it might be bands that I would enjoy, but I wouldn't approve that.
But once you get duly noted what
I'm sorry.
Once you get a complaint after the first one that it could be heard three blocks away and people couldn't sleep and it was 10 o'clock on a Sunday evening, mm-hmm. Can you then say, well, you've got to stop at 9, or you can't do as many of these, or you need to turn the sound down?
We could definitely do that, and we had conversations with the property owner, and in this case also with the applicant, about our concerns for being sensitive of the levels that you're operating at and monitoring it more closely. Interestingly, one of our complainants was quite some distance away, about two blocks away, on the Son Latino event in particular. And when I was out there that night, what is fascinating from an acoustics perspective is it is so quiet that if I wanted to, I could walk for blocks and blocks and blocks and still audibly hear it. The challenge is when the neighborhood is that quiet, there's some challenging expectations that there should be absolute inaudibility because it's not from a physics perspective possible unless they turn it down to a level where they can't have a viable event. So what was interesting is one block away in one direction, it was four times as quiet as it was in the primary direction where the community is hearing the event. So this is not a loud event, but it is a very quiet neighborhood. So finding that balance is not as easy as it might be someplace where the ambient levels of the community are so loud that as soon as you walk a block away, you don't even hear it. In this case, it's the opposite. It's a very quiet neighborhood, and having events means that the neighborhood is going to be very aware even several blocks away.
Mr. Van Orden, the only map we have in the record is a sort of a sketch, and it says that the building to the immediate north, Kitty Quarter to the north, the immediate east, and Kitty Corner to the southeast and directly to the south are apartment complexes. Where is the commercial space that is contiguous with the rooftop?
We are talking about primarily a node that occupies the north. I'm sorry, I would say the southwest corner of 50th at that point.
Because 50th is a commercial strip?
Yeah, to an extent. It's actually, as you're mentioning, there's quite a bit of high-density residential in that area, and that's why it's...
Is it fair to say it's largely residential in character, the area around it?
Yes, and that's why I would be hard-pressed in the future to say that we're going to issue more than a small handful of permits because it's not a dense commercial district. It's mostly residential and fabric at that point, until you get a little further south to Division.
Couple questions. First of all, it's particularly quiet over there because 50th is under construction and there's very little traffic. Is that the case?
That is definitely the case. So right now, there's significant construction going on where the traffic is, there's one-way traffic permitted, but in the time that I was there on Sunday, I would say on average I'd have a car go by maybe every minute, maybe every couple minutes. So definitely different than it would normally be. I would still say that 50th is, and I'm obviously not PBOT and don't have the traffic counts, but from experience, I wouldn't expect a heavy impact on the community for a notably higher ambient. I would think we're talking about 5, 6 dB higher normally with traffic occurring on 50th. But it is extra quiet right now for the neighbors, so this stands out and can be heard a much further distance than it will be once 50th is opened.
And, just so I don't run afoul of our rules, if I had a party at my house on Sunday night, when would I have to stop having audible noise coming from my home?
The code would delineate two things. Audibility in terms of a police officer writing a ticket based on audibility would be 10 p.m., you would still have to meet the decibel levels permitted in your particular zoning 24 hours a day. So it would be more than likely for where you're at, if it's residential intensive, that would be 55 to your neighbor, so a little quieter than we're talking in this case.
And were there any complaints about people leaving the event and creating disruption in the neighborhood?
I haven't focused on that since that's out of our purview.
Okay.
And is the burden of proof here on the appellant to overturn your decision based on a review of your decision by this body, or do we look at this de novo?
You have a great amount of leeway. The appellant in bringing this forward, you actually could do something as simple as say, for the last two events, we think a good balance is just ending an hour earlier. So you actually have enormous leeway, as I understand it, unless the city attorney were to tell me that I may be wrong on that. But in past cases, you have quite a bit of ability to interpret what would be best for the community. I think that's all I have for staff. I don't know if you have any other additional questions.
We might later. Thank you very much, Paul. Next up is the appellant, Ben Salzberg. 10 minutes, sir.
And just while you're coming up, I just again pulled up the piece of the code, and it says, at the time of the hearing on appeal, the City Council may consider any such new matter as deems appropriate, as well as the record developed before the Noise Office or the Noise Review Board.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, council members. My name is Ben Salzberg, and I'm bringing this appeal about the loud vents that have been happening on the Yoga Union rooftop. These events have happened since May, actually. I just took a note of the videos I recorded from my front porch of them, and I have May 27th, June 17th, July 22nd, August 3rd, August 19th, September 2nd, did not happen, September 16th. So it's not like it's once or twice. When I first approached the owner of the building, I directly said, hey, that's a really loud event you're having. He said, oh, I'm sorry, would you like some free yoga classes or a meal at a restaurant or something? But no attempt to address it. In addition, I don't know if they had a variance for any of those, but the first one that we were informed of was the August 19th event. I received a flyer on the Friday before that, which is certainly not enough time to appeal any kind of noise variance, much less talk to City Council about it. And, of course, that's going to be weeks out anyway. So that's one thing. They've failed to notify the neighbors of these events at all until the last round of them, I think after enough complaints came in from the neighbors, that they finally felt like they were forced to comply. The building, when they first built it, had to get a variance to have a CM1 building there. It was zoned residential originally. There was a light manufacturing place there, which we never heard. I've lived there for 15 years, and I didn't even know what was going on in that building. But when Yoga Union took it over and built their new building, there was no disclosure that they were going to have amplified outdoor events. So when they applied for their variance for their CM1 building, they did not inform the neighbors or give us a chance to talk about their building permit that they were going to have loud outdoor events. They don't have a nightclub permit. They're supposed to be a yoga studio, which is terrible for parking in the neighborhood, by the way, but shouldn't be super loud. So the other thing is they've rented the space to third parties and then had the third parties apply for the noise variances, which I think is a pretty shady practice. I'm not mad at Son Latino. I think they rented the place in good faith. I understand that they paid for an event space that they were rented by the building operator, and I think the building operator should not be allowed to have those events. I'm sorry that they paid for a space that they shouldn't be using in this nature, but I'm not particularly mad at Son Latino for this event, more for all the other events that they've had up there, and for the previous salsa events that did not have noise variances. They are quite loud, especially the first number of them were extremely loud, so loud that in my house with the doors and windows closed and window inserts in and the drapes closed, it was as loud as I would listen to music on my stereo in my living room. So it was quite loud. In my insulated basement on Sunday the 19th, it was loud enough that my girlfriend, who has to work on Monday morning, had to put in earplugs and sleep with a pillow on her head. And that's a new basement that has foam, concrete, foam, double pane windows. It's a very well insulated basement, and you could still hear it inside. So it is definitely audible from there. On top of that, it's on top of a building. So it's a concrete rooftop, and any kind of amplification on a concrete rooftop is going to go for blocks around. as Paul indicated, it is a very quiet neighborhood, very quiet. I could hear someone open a car door a block away normally. My decibel meter tells me that on the quiet nights, it's as low as 39 decibels ambient noise, which is very quiet. And 50th is a busy street during the day and commute times, but at night, after 5 or 6, it is actually a very infrequent traffic street. It's a quiet street. They're occurring on not just on weekend nights, but on Sunday nights, and many people have to go to bed before 10 p.m. on Sunday if they work on Monday morning. One of the neighbors at the apartment building was particularly mad about that. So before coming to this hearing, I just walked up to the apartment building and asked anyone I saw if they'd be willing to sign a thing that says that they would like to appeal. And I immediately got 5 neighbors, all at the apartment building, who I feel like they maybe don't feel like they have a voice to complain about this kind of thing. But I was like, I'm going to go talk to city council, and I'll take your signed letters to them. So within 5 minutes, I had 5 signed forms from people at the apartment building. I know that there are more people at the apartment building who didn't want to show up or sign anything. And on the apartment building across the street, they were unwilling to answer to the door to a guy with a clipboard, which is not too surprising. But one or two of them did actually answer and say, I have the phone number, I'll call, but I don't want to sign anything. Or
sir, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
We've got these 2 events that are coming up, one on September 30th and one on October 14th. The variance runs from 5:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. What's the relief that you're asking us to grant you?
There are some things they could do to mitigate the noise. One thing they could do is have the event inside the Breathe building instead of on top of the roof. If they did that, I'm sure there would be very few objections from the community. So the owner could allow them to use the indoor space, which would be fine. I realize that being on the roof is nice when it's nice outside, but having amplified music up there is just going to broadcast across the whole community. So indoors, or much quieter, or canceling the events entirely for the next 2 and having them get their money back from the Breathe building, any of those would be acceptable. There are ways to have an amplified event with many smaller speakers instead of larger ones that can make it loud enough for the people at the event to hear it, but not broadcast the noise as far or as loud. So a different sound system could also accommodate. I think most of my neighbors, especially at the apartment complex, would prefer that this not happen again. Yes, inconsistent with the... I think all the rest of my... You got my appeal notice. So. How's that? I think that's all I have for you right now.
So what's about just ending it earlier?
Say that again.
What would you think about ending the final events earlier?
If they ended earlier, that would help also, yes. Especially because they're on Sundays.
Good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next up, supporters of the appellant. If you have not signed up but would like to, please see Carla.
We have one right now, Mary Sipe.
Mary Sipe, welcome. It's good to see you.
And Mayor, if I may,
one moment. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. If I may briefly interject to answer Commissioner Fish's question from earlier, I've looked at the code. It is de novo on the record.
So we get to make up our own decision on this one.
That is correct.
Mary, we sent out the sergeant at arms this morning looking for you, but we couldn't find you.
I was here in spirit. I was watching. I was live streaming. So, good afternoon. My name's Mary Sipe. I support Mr. Salzberg's appeal of this noise variance permit. Apparently, San Latino has been holding these events since May without a noise variance permit. Then, when neighbors complained, they applied for a permit for their August, September, and October events. Then, when they did get a permit, they violated the conditions of that permit. They did not provide notification to the neighbors at least a week prior to the event. The sound was audible further than a block away, and they did not reduce the sound levels upon request initially. This appeal is a great example of why the current appeal process needs to be revamped. Having appeals presented to City Council is cumbersome and ineffective. This is a perfect example. The first event occurred on August 19th. Mr. Salzberg filed his appeal on August 22nd. The hearing was placed on City Council agenda 4 weeks later. In the meantime, two more events occurred. Often there's no point in filing an appeal because the event or events often occur before the hearing can be scheduled for City Council. 3 years ago, on July 9, 2015, Paul Van Orden presented several proposals to City Council to amend the Noise Code Title 18. One of those proposals was to have appeals of noise variances be brought before the code hearings officer rather than the City Council. A noise task force was formed to explore the merits of these proposals. I was appointed to that noise task force by Commissioner Fritz. Unfortunately, the task force was unable to come to any consensus and did not make any further recommendations or act on that proposal. When Mr. Van Orden presented his noise office update to City Council last August, the proposal to have the appeals heard by the code hearings officer was one of his five priorities, yet it still has not been presented to City Council for consideration. It's time to stop talking about the much-needed revisions and updates to the noise code and start doing something. Why did Mr. Salzberg even need to file an appeal? The noise variance permit states, and I quote, "Violation of the conditions of this variance constitute grounds for revocation of the variance." Mr. Van Orden has the authority to revoke and or modify the permit when conditions are violated. It's my understanding that a citation was issued. That's good, but why wasn't the permit revoked or modified? This permit is also an example of concerns I've expressed about the structure of the noise variance fee schedule. This permit is for events occurring on five Sundays. The fee that was charged was $205 for an accelerated review. The noise office considers this one event, but it's actually five. The way I see it, they should have been charged $205 for the August 19th accelerated review, plus $105 for September 2nd, 16th, 30th, and October 4th, for a total of $625, not $205. Why are we not charging for every event? Like I said in my testimony a couple of months ago, the more days they make noise, the less they pay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And next up is the principal opponent of the appeal. That's the applicant, San Latino, or representatives thereof. Welcome.
Thank you.
And you have 15 minutes, or up to 15 minutes. Thank
Great.
You.
Great. So my name is Rosita Nikolaeva, and I am one of the two main owners of San Latino Dance and Event Company. We're based right here in Portland. And first of all, I want to point out, I understand that there are other broader issues at hand here. So I feel that my task is to speak to everything that pertains to San Latino and our events, not necessarily to restructuring the appeal process or other events that might be happening at Yoga Union, which we clearly cannot be responsible for. A citation was just mentioned. That citation was not against us. I believe it was against a different applicant or a different event organizer. So I just want to make sure that the distinction is clear, because I feel that a lot of information is being thrown that is not relevant to the case currently at hand. First of all, I want to give you an overview of what our business is and what we do. So we are a small local business, and we focus on connecting communities and, in general, building community through music and dance. And we focus primarily on Latino music and dance. And we have, as one of our goals, promoting diversity through social events in a low-pressure, non-threatening social environment. Our customers include a lot of private citizens, local nonprofit organizations, as well as local government organizations. We have done a number of projects with organizations such as the Hispanic Honors Society at University of Portland, Portland Parks and Recreation, Portland Public Schools, We work with a lot of nonprofit organizations, including VOLS for migrant worker rights, Community Alliance of Tenants, CAT, among others. We participate regularly in fundraisers that aim at furthering the work of many nonprofit organizations here in Portland, upcoming fundraiser for Dornbecker Children's Hospital, etc. And our guests of honor include artists, trainers, and speakers of diverse backgrounds from all over the country and with national and international recognition. So the work that we do is not just a dance party, you know, where everybody just comes and is loud. We actually do a lot of work in the community that helps strengthen the community and focus on equity, diversity, and inclusion. And I think that the work that we do is actually very important to the Portland community. We cater to a wide variety of attendees. And so for the very short duration of the Portland summer, we have some outdoor events. They're named Salsa on the Rooftop as just a catchy name, but they're a platform for people to interact. And the purpose of that is not to have a loud concert or party. Actually, all of our events that we do throughout the city are social mingler events where you can have a conversation while you have the music going. We do events at North Hall, which is the oldest dance hall in Portland, I believe, as well as other event spaces such as what used to be Enbridge Event Center, Melody Ballroom, etc. And during those events, people engage in social interaction as cultural activities as well as dancing, which is an activity that improves health and wellness, as I'm sure all of you know. And our events have gained the attention of many private, nonprofit, and government organizations. One of our guests of honor was actually Kate Brown and Mr. Dan Little, the first gentleman of Oregon, for our Cinco de Mayo celebration. And we've been in contact with Mr. Dan Little in particular regarding this event in relation to the Roadmap to the Outdoors initiative that aims at diversifying Oregon's outdoors and the work that the Office of Outdoor Recreation is doing as well. So the event is not just a loud salsa party that is wanting to create a nuisance for the community. It's a way for us to engage with people from the community and be able to also bring other important issues to the attendees of those events and involve nonprofit organizations, etc. So it's just our way of reaching the community, in a sense. I strongly believe that the work that we do builds up and strengthens the community. It promotes diversity and inclusion of minorities and marginalized community groups and fosters integration between diverse groups as evidenced by the diverse customer base at this event. Now, I did not go and collect signatures from people that are for this event. I'm sure I could, in an hour, get over 200 people to say that they would like the event not to stop. But I think that, again, that is not pertinent to the case because, you know, it's, I think, Ben, I think we actually know each other now. I recognize you from Reed College. So to point out a couple of things, I understand that there are things that maybe are specific to this neighborhood that make it so that that event is maybe more audible than it would be in a different part of town. And we've been responsive to everything that has happened during those events. So just to back up a little bit, our original agreement with Yoga Union, which is, you know, that is more the interaction between us and them, we were told that as long as we are within a certain decibel level, we do not need a noise variance permit, which is why we originally did not have one. As soon as there started being complaints and we talked to the building owner and we found out that there is a different process that we could follow, we chose to follow that because we do believe that that is the better way to conduct business. And I am the person who put in the application for the permit. We applied for an expedited permit issuance just because of the time frame, and we submitted the notification to the neighbors once we got the noise variance. Now, I understand that that's a shorter time frame that it usually takes for those. That was right before the August 19th event. However, as soon as we got that noise variance permit, we submitted the application. Now, in addition to just submitting the noise variance, we decided as a courtesy to the neighborhood to extend complimentary admission offering to all of the neighbors that are within a block and a half radius that would be considered affected by the noise as specified by the noise variance permit. And we actually had a list of people that contacted me and asked to be put on the list. They were very excited about being able to participate in the event. I have screenshots that I have sent to Nicholas and Paul that show that. And I have names of those people listed on my computer. Some of them actually did make it to the event, and they said that it was a lot more pleasant up on the rooftop, and they really appreciated the invite and had a lot of fun at the event. So during the August 19th event, we had a professional level decibel meter, which we've had at all other events, and we measure from the property line and downstairs on the street. Now, I understand that sound is a little weird in that area, and maybe sound amplifies differently. So as Ben had pointed out, at some point it might have been 60 from his porch, and I think maybe, I'm not sure if it was Ben that texted me that or someone else, but they said, well, it's 60 from my front door porch. I can't measure from someone's front porch. I would be trespassed if I went with my decibel meter and did that from there. But from the property line of Yoga Union, we have been within the restrictions of our permit, and I don't believe that we have violated them, so I'm not sure if the reference earlier was regarding a different event. Also, one of the dates mentioned was not a date that we've held an event during. So I think there's some confusion from the community about which ones are our events and which ones are somebody else's.
Let me ask you a question. This doesn't count against your time, but
of course.
So what events are scheduled for September 30th and October 14th?
That's our event, the Salsa on the Rooftop event.
And is it a benefit for some? Are either?
It's not a benefit. It's a social event that we do, and we're happy to. Obviously, we don't want to create a nuisance for the neighbors. We're happy to work with the community on holding those and making them more pleasant to the community. However, there are certain things. I appreciate Ben bringing up some of those options. However, moving the event indoors, we already have indoor events elsewhere. Salsa on the Rooftop, that is the name of the event. So having Salsa on the Rooftop on the ground floor of Yoga Union would kind of defeat the purpose of having Salsa on the Rooftop event. It would be, Ben, I know you're a biker, it would be the same thing like telling you to go on go bike indoors or to go one of those machines in the fitness center instead of enjoying a nice bike ride outside. As far as ending early, I think that is something that we would be happy to do, especially now that the days are getting shorter. And but for the August 19th event, I've had people that message me at 8 o'clock at night saying, I'm going to sleep. And I feel like in Portland, in order to support certain cultural events, small businesses in general, there are certain things that we need to do like a big city does, for example. And to me, and I understand that different people handle noise differently, but an 8 o'clock complaint on a Sunday night to me seems a little bit unreasonable when the sound level is 55 decibels from the property line where we're measuring. This would be the equivalent, in my opinion, to complaining at my neighbor who plays the piano and I get to hear them pretty loud and clear in my living room. However, I would never consider filing a noise complaint against that because clearly that is the enjoyment of someone else and it's just not something I would do.
How many guests do you get at these events?
So the attendance varies. No more than 80 at the same time, but there are people that come and go. So over the course of a night, it might be 130 people coming in and out, but they're not there at the same time.
So we're talking about two specific events. Is that correct? Because, Paul, you indicated that you were going to do a total revamp subsequently. And I'm hearing you mention some desire around flexibility. I get your analogy of wanting to be outside and enjoy the outside. And now that the fall is upon us, it will be cooler out. And it sounds like you're saying they have an indoor space. What if you did it outdoors, but for the last hour you moved it inside?
We don't have access to the rest of the building.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, that would be very difficult to do from a setup standpoint, because we have a floor, we have everything is set up outside, and that takes many hours of preparation and setup time from myself and my staff. And so to have to do that twice, or to have to interrupt the event and move that indoors, that's just not feasible.
I was thinking more like you have sort of the dance or the music outside, and then the last hour is something inside that's maybe different. I don't know, but conversations,
I don't think
coffee,
from a business perspective that makes sense.
Right.
But you're open to potentially scaling it back by an hour?
It's not ideal, and I think it would affect our attendance and our business, but I think that would be, you know, half an hour would probably be easier. At 8 o'clock, I mean, on the 19th at 8 o'clock, when I was having people text me, it was still light outside. Nowadays, you know, between 8 and 8:30, it starts getting darker, but I think a lot of people tend to enjoy the sunset when they're outside, and I think that's a big draw for this event as well. So if
sunset right now is at 7:10.
Right. And it's still, we get probably about half an hour of
But it's going to be dark by 9.
I have a couple questions. I just want to make sure I understand what you said about the notice to the neighbors that you issued, because it was only issued 2 days in advance rather than 7, which is what we require. That was because you hadn't received the variance?
Right. We received the variance permit within that week leading up to the event. We had to do an expedited noise variance. And so the reason for that was we didn't get it. And then, of course, it's a lot of notices to distribute, so I need the staff time to distribute that. But that noise variance included all the other events.
That was my next question.
Yes.
So that notice included
Correct.
The dates and times of all the other events.
Correct.
And then I'm curious, once you did issue that, receive the variance, you issued the notice, can you give me a sense of how many unique complaints you received during the...
Three. One was from Ben, and two other ones.
Okay.
And the one other one, and that was just the August 19th event, I did not get anything else except, I believe, the text message from Ben on this past Sunday. I did not get any other complaints on that day. And one of the prior complaints was against someone that seemed very disgruntled at the fact that there were other loud events that weekend. And one of the things that they said was, well, we don't want to listen to salsa every Sunday. I was very surprised because we had one event a month there, and I said, well, I think you must have us confused with someone else because we do not have an event every Sunday. And then the response was, well, regardless of how often it happens, they have loud events there all the time. So I think, again, there is a little bit of confusion as far as this is what we do versus what someone else might be responsible for. But we've been responsive and respectful to the neighbors. I did offer complimentary admission to a lot of people who actually did show up and enjoy the event, which is, I think, something that other renters don't necessarily do.
Who is the owner of Yoga Union?
I don't know. The person that I speak to is Todd Vogt, who I believe is associated with the management of the building, and then
but
Mark
you've not spoken
Kulina,
to the actual
but I,
owner?
I don't know. I don't know who the actual owner is.
Okay.
I don't have access to that person. I have access to a number of other people that are related to the building.
It sounds like you're getting blamed for that owner not taking responsibility for proper management of the property. I want to say I really appreciate you having your cell phone number, giving it to neighbors so that they can text you.
Right, which kind of backfired a little bit because, you know, I'm in the middle of organizing an event and Ben is texting me back and forth when I have an event to tend to. But I think I did my best to be able to be responsive while at the same time have customers needing their needs addressed and so forth.
We've heard from the appellant that he would like to see the last two events canceled or on the alternative moved inside. My understanding of your presentation is you have two events that are scheduled. It would be a great inconvenience to change them. You feel like you've made an effort to be a good neighbor, but you are open to the hours of operation. You are open to having a conversation with council about hours of operation.
I'm open to having that conversation. I don't believe that it would be beneficial to my business to do that. But if that is the only option, we would be open to doing that. I believe that hinders our operation as a small business that caters to that community, and that is also a time frame that's being set for a while, so people already kind of have that in mind. We're paying this cover, we're going to show up at this time, so it's a break in the cadence of the event, but we would be open to consider it.
You know, I used to live in a very big city called New York City, and I'm sensitive to the, you know, I filter some of the concerns people make about noise generally, because after all, we live in a city. It's
correct.
Like sometimes we have hearings and people who live in the Pearl District say, you know, they were shocked to learn there's a bar within walking distance from their home. Well, that actually is how the Pearl District has developed restaurants and bars.
Correct.
So we need a certain amount. I will tell you, though, that as someone dealing with a health challenge who also has at least one kid at home under the age of 15, you know, 9 o'clock is not an unreasonable time for people to go to bed, adults and children, on a Sunday night. I don't want to, you know, if we can keep it just in this room, that's my bedtime on a Sunday night. So that hour may make a difference. I don't know. We're going to still hear from your supporters. But I appreciate that you've at least signaled that you're open to having that conversation.
I have a quick question. If I were at my house and I was having guests over, and it was Sunday night, would I have the permission to play my music at that decibel level and have my guests be outside on my porch until 10 o'clock, or would I have to be done by 9?
Well, we've got the expert. We can have him back later to ask.
He said earlier, not at that decibel level. No, you wouldn't be able to.
Well, 60 and below doesn't require a noise variance.
Right, which I don't believe we require even a noise variance permit. The reason why we did that was so that we could comply with the city. But our noise level stays below that. And I have screenshots of my decibel meter that shows 54 and 55. And I'm sure it amplifies differently depending on where you go. But I believe we actually don't even need a noise variance permit for this event.
Like I said,
it's a social mingler. It's not a concert or a huge party. It's not a nightclub, and none of our events are structured in that way.
What are the demographics of the people who attend your events?
It is very mixed. We have some people from Latino background. We have American people that are from here in Portland. We have tourists that we come up in the searches of people who are visiting Portland, and they come from all over the world and all over the U.S. and find us on the internet, and they come out to the event. So it's very mixed, which is great because that's what we try to promote, is diversity and integration. And so, and the age group is pretty wide open. We have 12-year-olds that come with their parents, and we have 67-year-old people that come and like to enjoy the social environment. So it's an all-ages event. A lot of people come with their families and with their kids as well.
And do you serve alcohol?
We do have an OLCC permit, correct.
I'll have questions.
However, that is not the major focus of the event. The alcohol sales are just complimentary so that they...
Do you have supporters with you today?
I don't have a way of bringing people that would be willing to leave their workplace at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
You've made a very effective presentation, but perhaps is it your intention just to reserve your balance and have us maybe bring back the hearing officer to answer some of our questions?
I wasn't sure what the process was going to be today, so...
You don't have to use the whole time. If that's your presentation, that's fine.
I think that was mostly what I meant to present. If we need support from other people, I'm happy to get signed statements. But if you also look at a lot of our advertising and promotion is done through our Facebook page. We have about 3,000 followers. I'm sure that if I tried to solicit support, it would not be difficult to do. I just was not prepared to.
No, it does, because okay. It's really not a matter of how many people can the neighbors get to sign. How many can you get to sign?
I'm sure I can get hundreds of people to sign something if needed.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Can you have your time? Or is it a rebuttal now?
This would be the opportunity if there are other opponents of the appeal, meaning supporters of the noise control officer from the clerk sign-up sheet. Did we have anybody signed up?
No one else signed up.
So the next would be Ben has the opportunity if he would like to a rebuttal. But if you'd like to have staff come up first, I don't see any problem.
Mind? Might help shape the discussion.
I have a couple questions for staff.
Okay. Well, Ben, why don't you cool your heels for just a minute? Let's hear from staff. Commissioner Udaly, then Commissioner Fish.
Thank you. So we heard from the event organizer that she received 3 unique complaints during one of her events. How many unique complaints did the noise office receive?
We have 7 individuals, and it looks like 7 formal complainants, but one complainant has the same name at 2 different addresses. We haven't been able to confirm if it's the same person.
So 6 to 7.
So 6 to 7.
And I just need to make sure I'm understanding. If you're going to make noise that exceeds 60 decibels, you need a noise variance, and you need to comply with the existing rules, which is, what is it, 11 o'clock on Friday, Saturday, 10 o'clock on weeknights?
If you do not have a permit, you have to meet that decibel standard that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And it would be up to 10 p.m. Then after 10 p.m., the standard kicks in, and it's twofold because it delineates an audibility standard that's primarily used by the Portland police. Not audible within someone's residence is the simplified version of it. And it then delineates a reduction in the permitted decibel level in each zone by 5 decibels. So in this case, if you were meeting 55 and I came out and took a noise reading, you would still be in compliance with the city code. To clarify one other matter that is on the table for that issue. The applicant had mentioned that when she's measuring for compliance, she's finding herself in compliance. I think she is, but when you send myself or one of my staff out, we know the nuances of finding the highest decibel levels, and that's why I'm finding slightly higher than she is, which is requiring the noise permit. It is over the 60, but only by 3, occasionally 5 dB.
That was one of my questions, which was, where are you measuring? So across the street or down the block?
Yeah, we wind up doing a 360 degree around the property because the unique elements of the acoustics of the topography, the houses, and in this case there is a specific side of the building that tends to be much louder. That's why I'm getting very low levels to the southwest, and where Ben lives and his neighbors live, I'm getting those 63, 65 in the area of their homes.
And how loud can you be with the noise variance before 10 p.m.?
The standard that I was seeing when I was out there was on Sunday was meeting, and we didn't set a decibel level because we're not actually requiring most applicants of this very basic nature to be taking noise readings, because for this reason, you know, their readings are not the same as ours. They don't have the experience. We're setting an audibility standard. In this case, we set a block away. After that point, we should have inaudibility. There's some challenges when it's this quiet to have perfect inaudibility, but when I walked a block away from this location in each direction, it definitely was reduced to a level that on this Sunday, not saying on other Sundays, that it would reasonably meet our criteria in the code.
So there's no decibel limit?
Well, in this case, the 65, 67, 68 okay. would be the absolute loudest we'd expect to meet the criteria of a block audibility.
All right. That's it. Thank you.
Mr. Van Orden, Mary Sykes, who testified earlier, said that there were some proposals that we had kicked around, and I